I'm delighted to say I've got Group Captain Terry Holloway with me this afternoon. Thank you for coming in. Tell us a bit more about the 17th Sir Arthur Marshall Lecture.
Hi, Steffi. It's lovely to be here. Well, Sir Arthur Marshall was one of the great aviation pioneers, and most Cambridge people will know he put Marshall of Cambridge into aviation. His father, David Gregory Marshall, founded Marshall of Cambridge in 1909. In 1927, when Arthur Marshall learned to fly, we began our trek into aviation. And he made such a significant part in the aviation industry in the UK that the Royal Aeronautical Society has a named lecture after Arthur Marshall, the Sir Arthur Marshall Lecture. Mm. And I'm delivering the 17th lecture in Churchill College on Thursday, the 2nd of February, at 6 o'clock. And the great news is, it's open to everybody.
Oh.
You're very welcome to come. There's no charge, no fee. I think the Royal Aeronautical Society Cambridge branch would be very pleased to have new members and to accept donations. But I'm talking about Sir Arthur Marshall's flying exploits. Everybody knows about the great Marshall of Cambridge, which employs over 2,500 people in Cambridge, our airport, our manufacturing businesses. And previous lectures have been about engineering activities, and that's what the Royal Aeronautical Society is all about. But this time I'm talking about his flying exploits. He learned to fly in 1927, got his license in 1928. In 1929 he bought an aeroplane, and I'm not going to give away the secrets of my lecture now, but he carried on flying aeroplanes.
I think it's called a spoiler in the business.
It is. But he carried on flying aeroplanes until well into his 80s, flying jet aircraft. He was really quite a remarkable man, and some of the things he did in aeroplanes were really quite breathtaking.
What's his legacy then, do you think?
Well, he was the founder of the Cambridge Aero Club. I, in my part-time work for Marshall of Cambridge, I went to Marshall of Cambridge 22 years ago when I left the Royal Air Force. I worked for Sir Michael Marshall as his executive assistant for 20 years, and 2 years ago I became the company historian and managing director of the Cambridge Aero Club. I teach people to fly, as does the Cambridge Aero Club. We're one of the best flying training organisations in the country, and I think that's really part of Arthur Marshall's legacy, his enthusiasm for young people, wanting young people to achieve what they want in life, and in particular in aviation and learning to fly, which is what we do today.
Do you know, it's absolutely fascinating. It's the one regret that I have in life is that I never learned to fly. I absolutely adore flying. How much does it cost these days to train as a pilot?
Not as much as you might think. I learned to fly 55 years ago in gliders. I got a private pilot's license a year later. I joined the Royal Air Force 55 years ago this last Tuesday when I was 17. If you come to the Cambridge Aero Club and want to learn to fly, then you need to do 45 hours of flying, a bit of ground school, a bit of ground instruction, and for less than £10,000, you'll get a pilot's license. And it never ceases to amaze me how easily people adapt to flying. If you can ride a horse, and I know you can ride a horse, and in the early days of aviation, it was the cavalry in the army who became Royal Flying Corps pilots. People who could ride a bike, who've got reasonable hand-eye coordination, ride horses, adapt easily to flying.
What about what I'm doing now? Do you think I could fly a plane doing this?
Absolutely.
Having seen what I do?
Absolutely. You'd be perfect. And when I learned to fly, flying was a young people's game. Most of the people I learned to fly with were 17, 18-year-old. They wanted careers in aviation. Increasingly, at the Cambridge Aero Club, we're teaching people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, people who have had a very successful career, perhaps in Cambridge, perhaps in science, engineering, technology, IT. They've got some money. They want to have an aeroplane, so they come to us, learn to fly, and it's a great joy to me to see them embarking on something which is so much fun.
Well, in my previous life, I shared an agent with Carol Vorderman, and she's just learned to fly about a year ago, I think, hasn't she?
Yes, a little longer than that. I know Carol very well. She's a great supporter of the Air Training Corps. She's an honorary ambassador to the Air Cadets. I started off my career in aviation as a 13-year-old Air Cadet, and I continue to support the Air Cadets today through the Air League, through a number of organisations, and particularly supporting the Cambridge Squadron of the Air Training Corps, number 104. Carol is about to fly around the world, and terrific luck to her in doing it. I think she learned to fly probably about 4 or 5 years ago and regularly flew into Cambridge Airport in her own aeroplane to collect her daughter, who was at Queen's College.
Yes, of course, because Carol went to uni here as well, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Now, question I have to ask you, have things changed since crashes like the Hunter aircraft came down in South Sea on the South Coast last summer? Have things, displays, I know the Civil Aviation Authority have changed the rules. Does it affect Cambridge displays here?
Yes or no. Aviation has changed because of that terrible, tragic Hunter crash. We all await the outcome of it. Because of it, the Civil Aviation Authority has tightened up a lot of the rules on how you conduct air displays. We've never had very many air displays at Cambridge Airport. We've done them to celebrate particular martial events. And for a number of reasons, one is noise, one is close proximity to the city. I very much doubt that we will have any flying displays, air displays at Cambridge. But of course, the Duxford ones will continue under the new rules, which the whole emphasis on in aviation is on safety. And aviation actually is a very safe pastime indeed.
Really?
Yeah, you're safer in an aeroplane than you are on a bicycle in Cambridge.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
And actually, you're very much safer than you are in a car on the roads.
Mm. What about the noise levels out there at Marshalls? Do you get a lot of hassle because of that?
We get a few noise complaints. People will hear a large aircraft taking off that's been into the airfield for maintenance purposes. They phone up, not necessarily to complain, but I think quite often about out of curiosity, what is it? Where's it going? What's it been doing? We get, actually, in the big scheme of things, in comparison with, say, Heathrow, Stansted, a very low number of noise complaints.
It's mostly commercial vehicles, isn't it?
It's virtually everything that comes into Cambridge Airport is for maintenance purposes within Marshall Aerospace Defence Group. There's quite a lot of light aircraft, such as my Cessna 172s, my training aircraft, and other visiting aircraft like that that are coming into Cambridge for general aviation purposes.
Does the East Anglian Air Ambulance operate from Cambridge?
Yes, it does. And we're delighted, of course, that His Royal Highness Prince William, Duke of Cambridge, is one of the pilots. He's seen, heard on the radio by us quite often. He's a very proficient pilot. And it's a great joy that the East Anglian Air Ambulance does such a fabulous job in this area.
They do, because as a fellow equestrian, we always support them. Very pocket, hand in pocket every time I see them, because they're a great charity.
They are, and those of us who ride horses are very grateful to them when they come to the rescue of our friends who have unfortunate accidents and car accidents as well.
Absolutely.
A lot of people owe their lives.
Well, when I'm here every Friday afternoon, the M11, the A14, there's always accidents. It just seems to be par for the course on a Friday afternoon. And it's the quickest and most obvious way to get to a road traffic accident, isn't it?
It is. And it's the paramedics who are on board who do all the great deal of good by stabilising the patient. They can then get him to Addenbrookes or a closer hospital very, very quickly. They've saved countless lives. And they're active probably 4 or 5 times every day.
Another question, which I was thinking about, actually, where you are situated, it's prime land for housing. Are you not under pressure to sell or at Marshalls out there?
No, that was the case some time ago. And actually, I'm no longer really involved with the Marshall business in my capacity as historian, but Marshall has released some land for which planning permission has recently been provided, and that's going to enable something like 2,500 urgently needed houses to be built in Cambridge, right on the edge of the Newmarket Road.
Great. Well, tell us again, briefly, when the 17th Sir Arthur Marshall Lecture is taking place.
Thursday, the 2nd of February, 2017. It's in Churchill College. And there's plenty of car parking in Churchill College, and listeners will be very welcome to attend. They'll learn something about the flying exploits of Sir Arthur Marshall, a little bit of aviation history, which has been my passion for years. As company historian, I guard very, very carefully the history of Marshall and all our many achievements, and it'll be great to see people there.
Group Captain Terry Holloway, thank you for joining me this afternoon.